Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied without cessation, continue to chant the holy name. Lord Krishna whenever possible, serving them to lotus Vaishnavas. Upon hearing this, Hataraj said, how can I recognize a Vaishnava, please? Let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his karma symptoms? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and the topmost human being. For a part, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura says that the person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Sri Rupa Goswami in the Rupa Kashamrita. Krishneti yasa giritam manas adriyeta. With such faith in the holy name, one may begin a life of Krishna consciousness, but an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. I want you to accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of God and transcendence himself. As the Padma Purana says, the holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna, and by gates and tamani, gem, and touchstone, that name of Krishna is personified in sound and is therefore perfectly transcendental, internally liberated from material contamination. Thus, one should understand that the name Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. When one is situated on the neophyte platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure unalloyed devotee. However, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from such a devotee, and thus gradually become purified. In other words, any devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee. And even though he may be in the neophyte stage, by his association, others may also become Vaishnavas. One is known as a materialistic devotee if he simply worships the deity of Hari with faith but does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others in the state of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yet even by associating with such a neophyte devotee, one may become a devotee also. When Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatana Goswami, he said, A person who has attained firm faith as a real candidate for advancing Krishna consciousness, regarded as faith, they are first class, second class, neophyte devotees. One who has preliminary faith is called a finished adhikari or neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulated principles set down by the spiritual master. Therefore, it's on the basis of faith and passion to Krishna that one can judge who was a Madhyamakari or Uttamakari. It is thus concluded that even a neophyte devotee is superior to karmic organic because he is full of faith in chanting the holy name of the Lord. A karmic organic, regardless of his greatness, has no faith in Lord Vishnu's holy name or his devotional service. One may be advanced religiously, but if he is not trained in devotional service, he is very little forever on the transcendental path. Even a neophyte devotee engaged in deity worship is in accordance with the regulations set forth by the spiritual master, is in a position superior to that of the fruitful friends of the philosophers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. So this is Lord Chaitanya's reply to Sataraja's question, who is a Vaishnava? How can I recognize a Vaishnava? So the answer is one who chants once is a Vaishnava. So this, of course, is a little bit of a controversial statement, because if you only chant once, then everyone will just chant once and forget it, and then most of the Vaishnavas are the highest category, so that's it. That is actually not the meaning, but this shows one stage of advancement, first stage. So one who chants the name of the Lord once. That, of course, has a little bit of a qualification also. So actually it means chant with faith, not like Hajime or whatever, who was chanting by accident. Huh? So we don't really call him a Vaishnava. So one who chants with faith once, and he has, and the Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he understands that Krishna's name are non-different. So a person who chants purely once, then he is called a pure Vaishnava. But we know that if he chants more than that, then he's superior. So that, of course, is explained later. So this was an initial question. And the answer is given, chant once, and then the best Vaishnava. Later on, the people of Navadvip, they have heard this and they thought about it. Next year they asked the same question, they got a different answer. But then the next year after that, they asked the same question, they got another answer. So in this sense, we got three different Vaishnavas defined. We also have three different Vaishnavas defined in the after devotion under Vaidhi Bhakti. Three Adhikaris are there, the Kanishka, Majjhima, and Uttama. It's a little different because that definition is in terms of Vaidhi Bhakti, not in terms of chanting the name. This is a definition in terms of chanting. But we can see there's some sort of correlation. So, in that definition we have one is Kanishka, who hasn't got knowledge of scripture and has very weak faith, and one is a Madhyama, he has slightly more knowledge and he doesn't become disturbed in his faith if people give counter arguments, and one is an Uttama, if he has very deep faith and very profound knowledge of scriptures, so that he can reply and defeat others when they give arguments, and he can convince them. So he is called the Uttama. That's in terms of knowledge of scripture and Vaidhi Bhakti. Then there's another category of Kanishka, Madhyama, Uttama, Prabhupada quotes here, and that is given in the Bhagavatam 11th canto. So we have the Kanishka, who is the worships the deity because he believes in the Lord, but he is not much attracted to devotee association. Obviously, he doesn't have that much knowledge, so he's got some faith, but not much knowledge. And then we have the Madhyama, who associates with other devotees and therefore gets knowledge. Accepts the deity in the temple also. He avoids the demons, those who are unfavorable, doesn't preach to them. And he preaches to those who are innocent, unfavorable. So that's the Madhyama. So this is a person who has association with devotees and therefore has proper knowledge. Therefore he's qualified for good advancement, whereas a Kanishka, because he doesn't associate with devotees, has got rather slow advancement. And then we have the Uttama, who is described as seeing Krishna everywhere, seeing the Lord everywhere. So this describes a person who is on the level of prema, and whenever he looks at anything in the material world, immediately relates it to the Supreme Lord. So there we have three categories again. So in this category here, this classification, this is in terms of chanting the name, whereas the other ones are bhakti in general. The definition given in the Nectar of Devotion is actually Vaidhi Bhakti, particularly Sadhana Bhakti, within Sadhana Bhakti, whereas the definition given in the Bhagavatam covers even up to Prema. The Uttama there is in Prema Bhakti, the uttama in the nectar devotion is in sadhana bhakti, mighty sadhana bhakti. So he said the first stage only. So that definition is more limited. In any case, these are describing people who are qualified for devotion of the Lord, real devotion of the Lord. So therefore they are called pure devotees. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, yes, so one who chants the name of the Lord once with faith, he's a pure devotee. So therefore the word pure devotee also has a very wide application, because he is doing pure bhakti. And this, of course, is the definition given in Nectar Devotion. What is Uttama Bhakti? It consists of sadhana, bhava, and prema. So those who are doing sadhana are also called pure devotees if they practice pure bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. So, therefore, here it's mentioned that one who chants once the holy name of the Lord purely, then he's a pure devotee. So we should understand by that a pure devotee has a wide area or a wide coverage of meanings, from one doing sadhana to one doing prema. It doesn't just mean one prema bhakti. So, in this particular verse, Lord Chaitanya says one who chants once, ekbar, Krishna's name, he is worshipable, he is the best of all human beings. So definitely, one who chants the name of the Lord is better than the others. Even Ajamil is great because he chanted accidentally. And one who chants with faith, of course, is even greater. And if he chants with faith, which is pure, he has good knowledge and he understands the nature of the Lord, he has no offenses in his chanting, etc. That is very, very good, even if he chants once the name of the Lord at that point. So in other words, a person who practices pure bhakti, in sadhana bhakti, he is considered to be the best. And by doing so, then eventually he'll attain prema. Of course, if we don't do bhakti at all, we don't get prema. If we do mixed bhakti, again, we don't get prema. So if we do pure bhakti, starting in sadhana, then we get prema. So bhakti, of course, has many engagements. One can do deity worship and any of the 64 angas, and that can be called pure bhakti. But of course, Lord Chaitanya is concentrating here on the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting the name. So therefore he mentions the name, and particularly as Krishna's name. So this is Yuga Dharma plus the name of Krishna. So if one chooses Krishna, and is also very special. Of course, we know that Narayana also removes all your papa, etc. And that is so with the name of Krishna. But because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, there is also a special Shakti attached to that. So if we have the name Krishna and the person chants once, that is very special. It is greater than the person who chants the name Narayana once. So if we have a person who accidentally chants Krishna's name and whatever, then he's even greater than Ajamil. But if he chants with faith, purely, then in a very, very high position. So, chanting once is good, of course, but we should understand if the person has faith, knowledge, etc., then he will not just chant once. He will chant more than that. So better than the one who chants once is the one who chants constantly. Of course, one who chants twice is better than one who chants once, etc. But one who chants constantly is even better. So that is the next answer that Lord Chaitanya gives. The person who chants constantly the holy name of the Lord purely, he is the Vaishnava. So this is not an absolute statement, it's a relative statement. But definitely it puts the person who chants once purely in a superior position to all the other persons in all the other processes. Therefore it naturally follows that if he's going to chant once, then he will chant more than once. because you could only do the one chanting purely if, with faith, if you got association with devotees. So therefore, we assume that you would go on and progress in chanting the holy name as sadhana and do that constantly. Okay? Of course, to do constantly means you would have to develop some taste and strong faith in order to do that constantly. We see that a person like Haridas Thakur, he chanted continuously day and night, which most people could not do. How could he do it? Not simply because he was determined, but because he had great taste. He had great realization and taste. So he did that spontaneously, he would be chanting all the time. So of course in sadhana, we chant because there's a rule, you should chant 70 rounds a day. But then it's not continuously all the time. Of course one may take a vow, oh, I'll chant 64 rounds or chant 180 rounds or whatever. One can also make a vow like that. That's not also spontaneous. It's a vow, a sadhana. But of course it's good if one can maintain that vow and through that develop a great attraction to the Supreme Lord. So therefore one who can chant continuously, purely with taste, is in a very, very high position. The inhabitants of Navadvipa came on third year and asked the same question, who is a Vaishnava? And then Lord Chaitanya said, he is the Vaishnava whom seeing makes one chant the name of the Lord. The implication there is that one who's on a very high level can instill a taste for the name in other persons. And if he makes another person chant, obviously it's not by force that we just torture him so he'll chant the name. he's inspired to chant the name. In other words, he gets faith and, of course, knowledge and becomes inspired to chant the holy name. And he eventually develops taste. So therefore, this person is considered to be the Vaishnava. So we have the three categories here. The person who chants once, the person who's got more taste and chants constantly, and the person who is able to influence others to chant the holy name because of his pure chanting. So this will, we can say, follow in some sort of sequence. We begin chanting and then we chant with taste constantly, and then we can inspire others to take up the chanting of the holy name. So the third category of course will follow upon that inspiration, giving inspiration to others, will depend upon one's own taste. So once one has established one's own taste, then one can instill that in other persons. So in this way, we see advancement related to the chanting of the holy name. So we can recognize the Vaishnavas by this. One who chants a little bit, one who chants constantly, and one who is able to inspire others to chant constantly. This is a measure of one's progress in as a Vaishnava. This of course, how do we make this correspond to the other categories, for instance in the nectar devotion? Nectar devotion is a little bit different because that one is describing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti particularly. This could be anything, it could be Vaidhi or it could be Raghunir or whatever, it doesn't really apply. And that's particularly to do with knowledge of scripture. Having little knowledge, just a little more knowledge, and profound knowledge of scripture, and consequently the faith increasing. This is a little different because it doesn't mention the knowledge of scripture. That of course is implicit because one has to have faith based upon some knowledge. And the pure must have knowledge also. But it's not so much the depth of knowledge, but the taste that develops for chanting. So it's not quite, we cannot really have these corresponding together. And the definition given in the Bhagavatam, one who's a Kanishtha, because he doesn't associate one, that's more or less, we can see, the first two categories, the first two stages are based upon association and non-association with devotees. So the first person in bhakti is not so good because he doesn't associate with devotees. The second one, he recognizes devotees and therefore he advances. And the third person has attained the stage of bhava or prema, where he sees Krishna everywhere. So that again does not necessarily correspond to this category here, which could be categorized within, let's say, from faith through nishtha to ruchi, for instance, whereas the categories in the Bhagavatam go up to prema, would be pratama, bhava, and prema. So they don't quite correspond, but nevertheless, we have three stages in development according to different standards. Because Lord Chaitanya is spreading the Yuga Dharma of the name, therefore, here he replies about the Vaishnava, qualities of Vaishnava, characteristics of Vaishnava, in terms of the name, chanting a little, chanting more, and chanting with great taste or whatever, and therefore able to influence others. And as well, it is significant that, whereas in the Bhagavatam definition, that the Uttama Adhikari is one who sees the Lord everywhere. Here, the Uttama Adhikari is one who preaches everywhere and makes other ones inspired. So the emphasis is upon preaching. So this is another aspect of the name of the Lord. So the name is a Yuga Dharma, and therefore it is useful in preaching. It is, of course, a sadhana for the individual, but because it is Yuga Dharma, it is useful in spreading to others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the two principles of Lord Chaitanya's movement were Name Ruchi and develop a taste for the name and give mercy to the jivas, jive doya. So we develop our sadhana into from sadhana to bhava prema and our taste, etc. And at the same time, jive doya, we give out the mercy to other people. So this is what the Yuga Dharma is. We develop ourselves through this, and we also spread it to other persons. So kirtan is a process of chanting the name loudly so that other persons can hear. So people who are demons can hear. That's it. Persons who are favorable, they can hear, and we can attract them, and we can give them knowledge. And then they can develop in this process of chanting once faithfully and constantly, etc. So that is what Lord Chaitanya has meant by this, these teachings. Not necessarily. In most cases, of course, if we're going to serve Krishna, then it may be deity worship. But there's other ways one could serve Krishna, let's say by meditation on the form of Krishna, Sasa Seva, whatever. Even chanting his name is Krishna Seva.
Yeah.
So in that sense, there's other ways. Probably we could say mainly deity worship, but it could be other ways. For instance, the Raghavendra Bhakti, they sort of meditate on the Supreme Lord and serve him in Manasa Puja, whatever. So it could be either way, deity, direct deity worship or serving the Lord in the mind.
When it comes to Mother Vaishnava Seva, does it mean physically serving the Vaishnava?
Many ways of serving the Vaishnavas, following the order of the Vaishnava, plus doing manual service or physical service or whatever, either way. Yeah, so at least he becomes a devotee. If he doesn't get associated with a neophyte, he doesn't get associated with anybody, then he's not a devotee. So if he associates with a neophyte, yes, and then he becomes a neophyte. Well, they're all pure. The neophyte's also a pure devotee if he's standing pure bhakti. So, now, of course, if one gets uttamadhikari, fine. But if one is going to get someone prem bhakti, one may have to wait for a few lifetimes, because it's very rare. So in that case, I'm going to wait for 5 lifetimes. You don't know. You have to take what's available. No, one has to go through the process. It's only sadhana bhakti. One would think that one would be in the uttam category by nishtha, because one has profound knowledge of scriptures and convince others, so one on nishtha would be like that. Well, the devotee has to understand the method of association. So yes, the Madhya could come down to the level of the neophyte, but the very definition of the Madhya is also that he associates in certain ways with different types of devotees. So he associates with the neophyte by preaching. So by doing that, he cannot fall to a lower position. If he acts in a friendly manner and does everything that the neophyte does, then he may fall down to that level. But he's not to act like that. He acts with other Madhyamas in a friendly way. And therefore they maintain that standard. And he serves those who are in a higher stage. So if he acts properly as a Madhyama, then he won't. Even the neophyte engaged in deity worship expressed regularly set forth by spiritual masters and members of the that of the Buddha worker. Oh, so with the neophyte was defined as one who worships the deity in the temple but doesn't recognize the devotees. But to order to worship the deity, then he has to take diksha. Technically, if he's going to worship in the temple. If he simply visits the temple, that's another thing. So technically, if he's going to worship the deity in the temple with diksha itself, personally do the archana, then one would assume he's not actually a kanishtha, because he would get diksha and he would associate with devotees and guru would get knowledge, so he wouldn't assume that. But if he only goes to the, has faith in the deity and worships the deity in the temple, like by offering and going to the temple and giving some fruits every day or whatever, that type of person would be a kanishtha. He wouldn't have initiation. What's that? You can? Yeah, so in other words, the conduct of a Vaishnava to associate with Vaishnavas, and if he doesn't, then what is it? He's either kanishtha, who doesn't associate and he can't advance, or he'll associate with materialism and fall from this position. Well, as I said in Bhagavad Gita, they talk about Krishna Katha with each other. They exchange their realizations and views and associate in a friendly way.
So,
Well, that is according to capacity, obviously. And one cannot have that stage immediately. But that is perfection, which means simply, in other words, what is prema? Prema is constant thought of the Supreme Lord, complete attachment to the Supreme Lord, therefore one is constantly absorbed in the Lord, so the same was constantly chanting the name of the Lord. But that will not be achieved unless we get bhava and prema, ultimately. Well, he's putting himself in a humble position. I'm a materialistic grihastha, he's saying. I'm not a very good grihastha. I'm a materialistic grihastha engaged in attracted to material things, so how can I advance? And so he's putting the grihastha in a low position. That's what he's doing. Not really explained. There are four types of grihasthas according to the Bhagavatam and the Smriti Shastras. One who, takes the grains that fall in the marketplace and survives on that, or one who goes to the field and takes the remaining grains after they've harvested. So in other words, he doesn't beg. He simply takes what is there left in the marketplace on the floor or in the fields after they've harvested, and that he survives all year on that. And then there's others who may work or whatever, but there's four categories like that of grihasthas. But that is, of course, probably not followed for the last few thousand years. I don't know when it was ever followed. Very strict. And of course also we'll see this is probably just a Brahmin grihastha. No, the only one liberated one is the Uttama in the Bhagavatam definition of seeing Krishna everywhere. The definition is sadhana bhakti for the definition given in the Nectar Devotion, so he's not liberated. And this definition here is a little bit not quite specific. So it could be before the liberation stage also.
What is the position of
demigods? Whether they are liberated souls or demigods? No. They are jivas in the material world, assigned by the Lord for a particular role.
But they are being devotees of the Lord. On what basis they are chosen?
Because they have a greater devotion, but they're not completely pure. So therefore they're still in the material world. In other words, they're not nityasiddha at this point or whatever. This is the instruction that he's giving to Satyaraj Khan. How to advance as a householder. So therefore he says, constantly chant the name and do Krishna Seva and Vaishnava Seva. So obviously, of course, in one sense Krishna Seva, we can say, includes all types of service, even chanting itself, but we could take this more as either manasaka or physical worship of the Lord, which we cannot do all the time, obviously. So as much as possible. And Vaishnava Seva is again as much as possible. We're not always with Vaishnava. So. But one can always chant the name. Yeah. So they have more potency. In other words, If we have a little realization, that much realization, we can impart to others. We can't impart more than that. Someone in prema can instill prema in others. One who's not got prema cannot instill prema in others. And so according to one's level, one can instill that type of faith and bhakti.
And then when you go to preach,
when
they stand there just being a devotee, he just says Hare Krishna.
Of course, if that person actually becomes a devotee and becomes inspired, then he may have some particular potency to do that. What's that? Well, it's not only dependent on the guru, it's also dependent on one's own following. Like in other words, if you can apara, then nothing happens, and you can destroy the bhakti also, even if you have a guru. So it depends on our own sadhana.
I was talking about the even for devotees in Swan, who are supposed to be having a favorable attention to doing great studies, are not able to continuously chant. How it is possible for others to do that?
Well, as I said, it's gradual. In the beginning, one chants once, he says here, one is a Vaishnava, and then better is chanting constantly. And of course, that has limits also. Even if you say, well, Haridas Thakur didn't chant constantly because he chanted maybe 20 hours a day. So he says 4 hours he didn't chant because he slept. So we can always make some fault like that also. So constantly also is a relative term.
And the devotees in this town are always engaged in some service or other. And during this time, they're mentally occupied in the service, performing the service. So how it is possible for them to be constantly chant?
So they don't, because probably anyway they're engaged in these services because they won't chant anyway all the time. They'll fall asleep, so better they do some service. Some people can, but most people can't. So they're not qualified for that type of chanting, like Haridas Thakur. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote that poem. It says it's Nirjana Bhajana is an imitation, because most people are not at that level. They don't have such attraction to go off and chant all day long. It's imitation only, and they'd be trying to do it, and mean that their minds are thinking something else. Well, in one sense, but here, of course, he's talking about chanting the holy name, and like we have Haridas Thakur, who was acharya of the name, and he was chanting constantly. So, that doesn't mean that other processes are not bona fide or anything, they're also there. But this is particularly in terms of name, chanting the name. Well, that's a general thing. It doesn't mention particularly Krishna's name. It could be Vishnu's name or anything there. Okay? But he's glorifying the Lord somehow or other. It could be not even Nam Kirtan. It could be Leela Kirtan, or it could be Guna Kirtan, or anything. Okay? Kirtan means glorification in general. But the idea is that that verse is describing the characters of the devotee. So, sada, constantly chanting, means he's always engaged somehow in glorifying the Lord, talking about the Lord, preaching about the Lord, or somehow serving the Lord, and getting some taste from that. Compared to the jnani and the karmi, who do not do that, and rather they engage in other activities. Well, that's concerned with chanting the holy name there. That when he says that, because it's all the verses are about chanting the name.
What?
Because demons should not have access to the preaching. But then after 1 year, then he felt, well, we also have to deliver the demons. So therefore he told them all to go out and deliver the demons also. So he said, Haridas and Nityananda took, and they delivered Jagai Mada. No. But they're not qualified. Don't preach to the faithless persons. What's that?
Yeah.
So how would that affect it? Mahaprabhu could do it, but the demons also. What's
that? How would it happen to us?
For us?
If you do that, you distract the faithful structure of the Guru and the Lord.
Yeah.
You distract the people who are not having faith in the Guru and the Lord. They are just trying to praise them. That is often.
Yeah.
You are telling that after 1 year, they are not started believing for them.
Why is it an offense? Oh, because if you instruct, you give instructions to faithless persons, then they'll simply pretend, and meanwhile they'll commit offenses. So therefore, it's the aparad. So we don't want people doing aparads. Or in the case of Jagai Mada, they attacked, and they committed aparads against Nityananda Haridas. So that we don't want also, because that's not beneficial for them. That's okay. You're not instructing. You're not instructing. So that's okay. They can hear the name, but you should not give instructions.
Oh, sure.